I've gone too far. I've gone too far with the Lord to turn back now. Haven't you? If you have made one step, if you have made one step towards the Lord, you've gone too far. And it's because of love. Hasn't God loved us with an everlasting love? Scripture says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the an unconditional love that the Lord has for each and every one of us. He didn't just love us because we were good. He loved us when we were bad. He loved us when we didn't deserve it, and we didn't earn His love. None of us this morning are worthy of His love. If I can just be good enough. Sometimes you children may feel like if you can just be good enough, Mom and Dad will accept me or love me. Do you know if you could understand the true love of a mother and father is, we accept you. You don't have to act out to get our love. You don't have to just do everything perfectly to get our love. You're part of us. You children are part of us, and we love you, and we accept you, and we care for you, and we need you, and we want you. Well, that's how the Lord feels about us this morning. He created us, and He loves us, and He desires us, and He wants us, and He has a good plan for us. I'd like to continue with this series that we started on the spirit of victory. It started with a spirit of defeat. People are battling so much this defeatist attitude, and I can't do it, and I wish I could do better, but I'm not able to. But the Lord wants us to have a spirit of victory this morning. That in our tests and in our battles, we can overcome by the power of God. And in this little series, we examine the spirit of victory comes about through not in our own ability, but in God's ability. With man, it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. It is not in our name, but there is power in the name of Jesus. So when we face the enemy and we're feeling defeated and I've tried and I failed and I've tried and I failed, that in the name of Jesus, there is power for us to overcome. We have read over, and let's begin again with the reading in Revelation chapter 12, the text. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength. Now that's not a message of defeat. Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren, that's talking about Satan, the one that would try to bring defeat in our life, he has been cast down, the one that accused them before our God day and night. And it gave us a recipe of victory. It said they overcame him. They overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb. There is still power in the blood this morning. When you don't know where to turn, you don't know what to plead, saints, there is still power in the blood of Jesus. And it said, and by the word of their testimony, that was last Sunday, that there is power in the word of our testimony. My heart and my mind is made up, and I'm going to openly declare, this is my faith, and this is my belief, and there is power in that. I've heard this scripture quoted many times. And do you know that a lot of times when it's quoted, that last part is left off as if it doesn't really go along with the rest of the verse? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. I've heard the period put there many times among God's people. But do you know that there is a very important aspect to this recipe, if you will, of overcoming in that last portion of the verse? It said they overcame by, number one, the blood of the Lamb. Number two, the word of their testimony. And number three, they love not their lives unto the death. They love not their lives. Can we not love God more than the things that are tempting us today?
The things that we, our flesh wants, the things that our flesh desires.
If you want to have victory this morning, we're going to have to love God no matter what the cost. That last portion of verse was a consecration that the early morning saints, those that had given their lives for the cause of the gospel, it was because they had consecrated their life and said, Lord, nothing is more important than You in my life. I love You more than mom and dad. I love You more than a husband or a wife. I love You more than houses and lands. I love You more than the ease to my own physical life. So if it takes dying, Lord, I am willing to die. I'm willing to give my life because I love You more. Folks, you get this kind of love this morning and you are going to find victory. But many times we don't have victory in our lives because our love for God is lacking. If there is one thing that is the crux of what holds all of serving God together, it is love. It's love. God is what? He's love. And that is what defines the relationship that we should have with the Lord this morning. If anything else defines our relationship other than love, that relationship is not very strong. And it's not going to hold together when it's tested and when it's tempted in certain areas because God is love. And the Lord is calling for us to love Him with all of our heart this morning. Love Him in everything in your life. Young people, children, put God first in your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then all these other things, the Lord knows you have need of other things. The Lord knows we need, there's relationships with people. The Lord knows we need jobs. The Lord knows we need houses and a place to live. The Lord knows all of those things. But Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. That's what love is about. Love is a decision that we make that supersedes all other decisions and choices. They love not their lives even unto death. In the 1400s, many of you have heard of and maybe read about John Huss. He was a Bohemian theologian. And he was, this is before the real Reformation started in the 1500s. So he was about 100 years before Martin Luther. So sometimes people credit Martin Luther with starting it. That was really when things took hold. But there were others that went before him that began to get hold of some truth. And John Huss was one such man. And because he began to teach differently than what the Roman Catholic Church held, he was brought before the council. Bishops were appointed to bring him to trial. And on his head, they took off his priestly robes. He was a priest. They took off his garments and they put a paper mitre on his head. And on it, they had painted devils. This is a man that was interested in truth. He didn't have a lot of it. But he had some of it. And they painted pictures of devils on this mitre and with the inscription that said, a ringleader of heretics. And when he saw it, this is what John Huss replied. He said, my Lord Jesus Christ, for my sake did wear a crown of thorns. Why should not I then for His sake again wear this light crown? He said, truly I will do it and willingly. And then the bishop that was there accusing him, he said, now we commit your soul unto the devil. And John Huss said, the history reports that he lifted his eyes up toward heaven. And he said, I do commend into thy hands, O Lord Jesus Christ, my spirit which thou hast redeemed. When they put a chain around him. They were going to burn him. He was alive. And they chained him to the stake. And when they wrapped the chain around him, he said, with a smile on his face, my Lord Jesus Christ was bound with a harder chain than this for my sake, Why then should I be ashamed of this rusty one? They took their wood and their kindling, and they didn't just put it around his feet, but they piled it up to his chin. He was chained to the stake, and they piled the wood up, and they lit it on fire. And he spoke before they lit it. He spoke and he said, I never preached any doctrine of any evil tendency. And he said, what I taught with my lips, I now seal with my blood. And he turned to his executioner and he said, you are now going to burn a goose. Now, hus, in the Bohemian language, means goose. So he said, now you're going to burn a goose, but in a century, you will have a swan, which you can neither roast nor boil. You know what Luther means? It's a swan. Or a goose. It was a prophecy. You can burn me now, but in 100 years, there's going to be something that you're not going to be able to stop. And that was really the beginning when the Reformation took hold and began to spread across the known world. So they lit him on fire. And this history says that as the flames, when you light something with lots of kindling, you know you can hear the crackling. And it wasn't just on his feet. I want us to get this vision in our mind this morning. It was all the way up to his neck. And they lit that on fire. And as that fire burned and the noise of the crackling, and there was a crowd around and there was noise, history says that John Huss began to sing. And it said that he, with a loud and a cheerful voice, he began to sing a song. And it said at length his voice was interrupted by the severity of the flames, which soon closed his existence. And after he was burned, they gathered the ashes up, and they went and cast them on the Rhine River, lest the remnant of that man should not be left upon the earth, whose memory, notwithstanding, cannot be abolished from our minds even today. Question I would ask us is, why did he allow himself to be burned at the stake? He could have recanted. He could have changed. When I read that, I did not read of defeat. We read of a man being burned, but we didn't read of defeat. That is a story of victory. But do you know what the impetus to that victory was? It was a heart of love for God and for truth. What was it? See, they loved not their lives. This is the 1400s. But they loved not their lives even unto death. And sometimes the little things of this life that get us all so twisted up. I say, Lord, help our love. Because remember last week I told you there's something romantic about giving your body to be burned? There's something that romanticized about I'm willing to suffer for Jesus. But are you willing to live in such a way that you'll get an odd look when you go to town? Are you young people willing to love God enough that when your friends, even if they go to church service with you, when they're doing things they shouldn't, and you distance and say, you know what, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go do something else. And we struggle with those things. And those struggles can be real. But do you realize that if we will love God and say, Lord, I love you more, and love not our lives even unto death, that will give you the victory this morning? This is the love that enabled Stephen, the first martyr of Christianity. As he was being stoned, people literally had rocks and they were throwing them and piling them on top. This is what enabled this man to say, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. How was he able to have that kind of victory? It was because of love. This morning, love is where we're going to find great victory today. There is great power in love. It is love this morning that brings about a total and absolute consecration to the Lord. Talk about the blood. Talk about the word of our testimony. But loving not our lives unto death means that we are consecrating and giving our life that no matter what happens, no matter what the consequence is, Lord, I'm giving myself to You and I'm loving You. They loved God more. They loved Him more. There is power. It was love that brought Jesus to this earth, and it is love that brings us to Christ. And folks, it is love that's going to keep us in Christ. And the things that have brought defeat in so many people's lives is because they wanted something else more than God. I would rather, and we need to just sometimes stop and practically ask ourselves, Jesus did that to Peter, didn't He? Lovest thou Me more than these? Do you remember when Jesus was walking the seashore and Peter, they had been cooking maybe something. They were cooking something. Maybe it was fish, maybe it wasn't. They were doing something and Jesus came along and He asked them a question. He said, in John, you can read it if you want in your own time, John 21:15, Jesus came to Peter and He said, lovest thou Me more than these? You remember what Peter had left at one time to go back doing after he'd followed the Lord? He went back fishing. There's nothing wrong with fishing this morning. There's nothing wrong with it. But Jesus came along and He said, and there's a lot more in that story than we're going to deal with this morning, but He came along and He said, lovest thou Me more than these? What are the these in your life? Because folks, we all have some these. What are the things the Lord comes along and says, do you love Me more or do you love that more? Do you want Me more or do you want that more? What do you love more? Young people, when there are things that you are battling with and being tempted, those things are real, okay? Your parents are not exempt from temptations. And some of the things that you may feel are unique to being young, just as a reminder, we were there too one time. It's real, and it can be hard, and it can be difficult. But in those times, if we can just stop and hear the Lord asking a question, do you love Me more, or do you love that more? Shouldn't there be a yes or no answer to that? Love is not just a feeling. I'm thankful for the feelings of love, aren't you? Feelings of love, those can be very wonderful things. But love is more than a feeling. I know, and if you use this expression, I'm not picking on you. People say, I fell in love. You know, that's all right, but it better be more, because falling in love won't keep you in love. Because if you fell in, you could fall out. You can fall out of love just like you fell in love. So I'm not, if you use that expression, that's okay. Please understand my point. But love is more than this emotion or this connection that we felt for a moment. Love is deeper than that. Love has to do with a decision and a commitment that we make. That when I don't have the feelings, my commitment's the same. My devotion. My responsibility, my consecration, it hasn't changed. It's the same. And the feelings are there and they're wonderful. And then sometimes maybe you go through a little valley where maybe it's not so keen. But my love can actually grow deeper because my decision has been made. Folks, if we want a spirit of victory, we need to make up our mind this morning. If your mind is not made up, I challenge you, make up your mind. Lord, I am going to serve You no matter what. And when I fail, and I thought, how can you fail if we've got the spirit of victory? Has anybody here ever failed once you started serving the Lord? But when you fail, and the Lord's there to pick you up. He's not there to cut you off. He's there to pick you up and brush you off. That, you know what? I fell or I stumbled, but Lord, my mind's still made up. I'm not going back, Lord. I've gone. I love you too much, Lord, as the song said, to fail you now. And if I fail, I'm not going back. Because, Lord, I love you and my mind is made up. But defeat comes. Defeat comes when our mind is not made up. Defeat comes when we're double-minded. Defeat comes when we are faced with temptation and opposition and persecution, and when my flesh wants to do one thing and my spirit wants to do something else. What will keep us is love. They overcame him and they loved not their lives, even unto death. Jesus said, if a man love me, John 14, 23 and 24, if a man love me, he will do what? He'll keep my commandments. If a man love me, he will keep my words. Do you know this should be an indication to us this morning of where our love is? We live in a world that draws nigh to God with their mouth and their lips. They honor Him with their lips, but Jesus said, their heart is far from me. People can say, I love the Lord, but if we are not obeying Him, it means our love is not sufficient. It means our love is lacking if we're not keeping the commandments of the Lord. So then, Lord, how can I know if I love you? Jesus said, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. So let's be obedient this morning. If we're picking and choosing what we're going to serve the Lord in, do you recognize the answer to that is getting in love with the Lord, choosing to love God. See, love is a choice, folks. Well, I'm going to fall in love with God. You know what? I have fallen in love with God. I'll say that. But I found something that has kept me there. And it's because He's been so faithful. Lord, regardless of my failures, Lord, I choose You. And my goal and my purpose with all of my heart is to follow You. And when the Lord comes and taps me on the shoulder and says, Michael, it's not good for you. Then, Lord, do I love you more or do I love this more? And sometimes, in young people, I'm not picking on you because we're all there. But I want to give you some counsel and advice. Some of those things that you find yourself keep going back to, maybe no one knows what I'm talking about. Things you kind of know aren't the best for you. You can't say it's sin, but, you know, I kind of like this. And you find yourself sometimes keep coming back to it time after time. And then the enemy comes in with this spirit of defeat. I'm just not overcoming. I just can't keep away from this thing. Maybe it's the music you listen to. Maybe it's something you're doing. Maybe it's not even sin, but it's hindering your relationship with God. Do you know one of the things that will help you is to say, Lord, I'm going to make a choice. Lord, I do love you more than this. And next time you're tempted, and it's right there before you, you say, you know what? I love God more. You will find enabling power when you choose to love God. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him do what? Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For all, and then he went on to say, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. This is one of the keys to maintaining a spirit of victory. It is a continual relationship of love with the Lord Jesus. That, Lord, I choose you. And I give myself to you. See, obedience alone is not love. Do we understand that? Love is obedience is a fruit of love, but obedience by itself does not mean love. Gave the example to the young people in Sunday school. If I put a gun to their head and I said, I want you to do this and that, and they did it, they would be doing it out of coercion. They would be doing it because I was forcing them. But if they voluntarily came and did something for me because they wanted to and they chose to, you know, that would be special to me too. Because they did it of their own volition. This morning, love is not forced. It's not because I have to do things to fit into the saints. It's not because if I don't do this, I'm like substandard. It's about, Lord, I want to get as close to you as I can because I choose you over everything else. That love this morning, the power of that love will enable so much victory. And this is why the scripture says, love not what? The world. Neither the things. You know how often people that are on the fringes of love with God don't like it when the minister starts talking about things? Have you all ever noticed that, or is that just me? Do you know why that is? When you love God with all of your heart, and something is brought out that you're doing that maybe is not real good, and you love God with all your heart, there's a place that in your heart that says, Lord, I'm sorry, I need to do better. Would you help me, Lord? But if your love is not what ought to be, it's easier to take offense at the thing. And that's not what the Lord's interested in. He's saying, don't love the world. Don't give yourself to it. Don't consecrate. Don't give your life to the things that are in the world. Because the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's not of the Father. And that's the reason young people and children, your parents and your grandparents may encourage you, stay away from the world. Don't get entangled with it. Don't get wrapped up in it. It's not because they're trying to make you just be in this straight jacket. It's because the things of the world will tend to entangle and start drawing you away from your relationship with God. The answer isn't just adhere to the list of rules. All right, number one, gotta be dressed, right? We chuckle, but you know why we chuckle? Because too often, that's what people do. If I dress right, then all of a sudden I'm a saint and I'm saved, sanctified, full of the Holy Ghost. Wait just a minute. The carnal man can dress modestly. Now, we need to dress modestly, but for the right reason. But we can say, number one, dress. Number two, don't have this in your home. Number three, don't go here and don't do that. Many of those things the carnal man can do, that's not going to save anybody. That actually brings a spirit of defeat if we're not doing the right thing for the right reason. Love has to do with our motivation. The reason we live holy is because I want to be what God wants me to be. It's not just so you can look at me and say, oh, he's doing pretty good. It's because I value my relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's why we can struggle and have the spirit of defeat. Maybe I'm really struggling with where I go. Maybe that's a real struggle. Maybe you're struggling up here on dress. And it's like, okay, I'm just battling all the time. There's this temptation and maybe I'm not doing what I ought to do and I'm battling and I'm struggling and I'm... Do you know sometimes we just need to stop? And the victory is not going to be won by conquering 1, 2, and 3. The victory is going to be found right here. Lord, I love you. Lord, I choose you. And maybe I don't understand 1, 2, and 3, but Lord, I want to love you more than I love anything else. So as you lead me by your Spirit, Lord, I want to be faithful to you. Do you understand this morning? I know I'm preaching and not teaching, but do you all understand that point? Because if you don't, I can talk longer. We struggle sometimes with the 1, 2s, and 3s. And the victory is actually found in our love. It's found in our consecration. If I haven't yielded my life fully to the Lord, I'm going to struggle with 1, 2, and 3. But even if I get to the place I think I've got those three conquered, I'm still not going to have a spirit of victory because the motivation isn't right. That they overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. And this is why God, and we're going to conclude here in a moment, the Spirit of the Lord said to one of the churches, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because you have left what? Your first love. I mean, you're doing 1, 2, and 3. I'm a saint in good standing. You can examine me with a magnifying glass and can't find a crease or a spot. 1, 2, and 3. I'll tell you what, you get on down, you're going to find self-righteousness in there somewhere. But it's not about the 1, 2s, and 3s as much as it's about the Lord wants love. He wants your choice. He wants you to verbally, but most of all with your heart, say, Lord, I say no to the world and no to my flesh. And Lord, I choose you above everything else. And do you know when we do that in the middle of our temptations and struggles, we're going to begin to find victories in these other areas that maybe we have struggled with for a long time. In closing this morning, I'd like to share with you Jude 1:21 and 2 Thessalonians 3:5. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And 2 Thessalonians 3:5, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. May the Lord direct our hearts this morning into the love of God, because therein we will find a spirit of victory as we still fight with the enemy.